as a title, I'm just going to use On the Road to Galilee. On the Road to Galilee. And we're going to talk about what happens on the road to Galilee. Because Jesus said to his men, he said, all these things are going to take place. He said, I am going to become an issue for you and everybody around you. You're going to have to make a choice about me and what you think about me and what you say about me. Because some of you are going to be, and he's talking to his disciples, because some of you are going to be publicly challenged with your faith or your lack of faith. And so he's just letting you know this is going to happen. And when he says scattered, he says some of you, he goes, you're going to be scattered. And he's saying that's like a thrashing. Scattered's not a good word. If you've ever seen anybody thrash wheat, it's an old custom. And what they would do is they would take a pitchfork, and they'd stick the pitchfork into the wheat, and they'd throw it up in the air. They'd throw the wheat up in the air, and then the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. But it's a separating situation where you got to get the good from the bad. You know, some of the college entry tests are truly designed just to separate. Some of the college entrance tests are designed to figure out, does this person have the aptitude to do this or not? And you sweat and you sweat and you sweat, but if you don't have the aptitude to be an electrician, you will never pass the aptitude test for an electrician if you're supposed to be a plumber. It's not going to happen. So he's saying to these men, he goes, you're going to be tested. The things that you see, and we as Christians, we walk around, we say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Jesus said, no. These guys have been following me for 3.5 years. And now it's time for the rubber to meet the road. Now it's time to see, do you really believe what you say you believe? I'm here to tell you, I believe that here in America today, for everybody out here who has anything to do with public work, public schools, public anything, not only public, private. You have people who work in private jobs. The rubber has met the road where people want to know, need to know, and they're looking to see, how are you going to stand with this man Jesus? How are you going to stand with this man Jesus? He said, there's going to be a time frame here where I'm going to meet you in Galilee. He said, but before I get there, I want to let you know a couple things that are going to happen. I'm just going to proceed down through here, and I ultimately will end up in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. But we're going to cover this road to Galilee. What transpired between verse 31 and verse 32? One of the first things that transpired, which comes up very shortly after at the point where we stopped reading. Jesus looked at Peter, and he told Peter, he said, Peter, before the night is over, you're going to deny me 3 times. During this time period, and understand, Peter is the one that Jesus called the little rock. He's one of the boldest ones out the bunch. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before the night is through, you're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus lets us know that during this time frame on his road to Galilee, Jesus knows what's coming, and Jesus takes some time to go for prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. But during this time period that he goes to have prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says to Peter, James, and John, he said, I'm on my way to some serious stuff, y'all. He said, but here's what I want you to do. This is all I want you to do, is to watch and pray. Church, we look at that and we say, that's no big deal. But when you read the scriptures, when Jesus says, this is crunch time, this is the time I need you, and all I want you to do is watch and pray. And the Bible says that when he went off to pray, when he came back, every man was asleep. As he was on his way to Galilee, the Bible tells us that Jesus wants us to know, I told you, he said, everybody is going to be scattered. He said, I just want you to know, on my way to Galilee, the treasurer, Judas, a man who's walked with me for 3 years, a man who's held the money for the group for 3 years. I just want you to know that before I get to Galilee, before you just start shouting hallelujah, praise God, I want you to know what's taking place in the background. I want you to know that a trusted friend is going to betray me. But he's not going to betray me from a distance. He's not going to point me out and say, there he is over yonder. No, a trusted friend is going to betray me with a kiss. Jesus is giving us all this background in the scriptures because he's saying, you know what? If you see folks do stuff like this to me, don't you feel so bad when somebody does it to you. You're going to experience things. You're going to have to deal with stuff. He says, but understand, I've been touched in all points. I know your sickness. I know your brokenness. I know your highs and I know your lows. He said, but on my way to Galilee, I just want you to know I've dealt with everything. I've dealt with everything that this world could throw at me on my way to Galilee. He said, before I meet you in Galilee, I want you to take note of how people handle bad situations. When Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, when he walked, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you walk with a man for 3 years? How do you call this man my friend? How do you call this man Lord? And then for 30 pieces of silver, for 30 pieces of silver, you betray him with a kiss. And then Peter, right after Judas betrays him with a kiss, Peter, the soldiers come for Jesus. Peter, in his impetuous way sometimes, he takes his sword and he cuts a man's ear off. He cuts the man's ear off. And Jesus has to pick up his ear and put it back on his head. And then Jesus reminds us, turn your Bibles over to Matthew 26, 53 and 54. Jesus has to remind us all these things that are coming to pass, everything that's happening to him on the road to Galilee. Matthew 26, 53 and 54. It reads, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Jesus says, you're looking at it from your earthly perspective. He said, I'm looking at it from my heavenly perspective. He's saying, everything I'm doing and everything that's coming about, I have to do this in order that you might be saved. I was having a discussion with a brother just a little while ago, and somebody had taught that you could tell how precious you were, how valuable you were, by the price that God was willing to pay for you. God gave his son, his only son. And then people say, so see, since the price was so high, the blood of Jesus, the price was so high, surely I have tremendous value. That's just like mankind. We take what is godly, we take God's point of view, and we twist it and we pervert it, and we give ourselves some value when we really should be looking at how high a price God paid for me. I should be looking at how I should be getting more amazed every day that God would even do anything. The reason we sing the song Amazing Grace is because the Bible refers to it as total depravity. The Bible says we bring nothing to the table. The Bible says we're just like the thief on the cross who Jesus had mercy on the last minute, where the man, his feet were nailed so he couldn't stand on solid ground. His hands were nailed so he couldn't bring anything to Jesus. All he could do was say, Lord, help. He brought nothing, and we bring nothing to the table, y'all. That's why grace is so amazing. Why would God even save a wretch like me? Because he loves us. He loves you. It is unmerited grace. Unmerited grace means there's nothing that you or I have done, can do, will do, that will get it to the point where we deserve the free gift of salvation. That's why I shout when I think about being saved. Because when I think about what he's getting in the deal, a deal is when both people get something out of it. And he's saying to his disciples, y'all, understand, this night, bad things are going to start, go into motion this night. You guys are going to be scattered. Every man is going to be for himself. And somewhere down through all this, you got to be wondering, what are the disciples thinking? I've been following this man. And now look at, everything's unraveling. Everything's falling apart. We're on the run because the guards have come and got him. Judas, who we didn't even know, the Bible says, the one who dips his hand in the cup with me. Because when they were all sitting around doing the Passover, everybody goes, is it me? Is it me? Is it? Nobody knew who it was. And now the one who held the money, he's turned his back on Jesus, and everything, the wheels are coming off of everything. But yet and still, before the wheels started coming off, Jesus said, after I'm risen, look at that, y'all. I know I'm going to watch everything fall apart. In your life, in my life, I'm going to watch everything fall apart. He said, but after I've risen, I want you to come meet me in Galilee. In that how Abraham, that's where you see in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, where Abraham gave a beautiful picture of what Jesus was going to do at the cross. When God told Abraham to sacrifice your son, your only son, the Bible says that Abraham walked out into the desert, him and his son and his servants. And the Bible says that God said, I'll show you the place when you get there. And Abraham, by faith, He had left his hometown. He had left everything. And now he's got his son, his only son, the only son of promise. And God says, I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And Abraham, being obedient to God, Abraham took his son. And the Bible says he stacked the wood on Isaac. So when I was a kid, I always thought Isaac was a little bitty baby, you know. And I didn't know. But the Bible says he gave Isaac the wood. And I'm like, well, how does this work? You give me the wood. And then Isaac said, Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. I see everything but the incense. I see everything except for the sacrifice. And
And Abraham, by faith, Abraham says, God will provide. But this is the part that messes you up. This is the part that messes you up. Abraham looks at his servants. Now, he's fully prepared to go and slay his son because God told him to go slay his son. He looks at the servants, and he says, hey, y'all, me and the lad, we're going to go up here and worship God for a little bit, and we will be back. What? What? Jesus says, this night, the wheels are going to come off. Everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. And sometimes y'all, I know you've been in those situations in your life where you're just saying, Lord, have mercy. What's going on? It's all falling apart. I can't see up. I can't see down. I can't run forth. I can't run back. Lord, I can't. And Jesus said, after it's all over, when I've risen, I want you to meet me in Galilee. It sounds like he got the whole thing under control, y'all. Sounds like he knows everything that's going to take place with everybody, because he told everybody, you're all going to be tested. That's a word for all of us. We are all going to be tested. No, and nobody here who is saved, nobody here who has named the name of Jesus Christ, though we may feel like it, and Lord knows, sometimes we feel like, I can't take anymore. I just can't. Like, I can't take anymore. I want you to know, I got it on good authority. He said he won't put not one thing more on you than what you can bear. You know, when I look at these bridges out here, and I do construction, and I look at these bridges, and I look at these buildings, and I look at these long spans for the bridges, and I'm saying, my goodness, don't you know somebody sat down and they calculated? I like that, calculated. They calculated just how much stress that road could carry, just how many tons that road could carry, every square inch of that ramp. Don't you know somebody put a pen and a paper and a computer and all that stuff together? Don't you know somebody did that? And I don't see any of us in here pulling up to the edge of the ramp, park the car, to see if it's going to hold you. But I want you to understand, whatever amount of brain power and energy power that it took that man to calculate what he did, God gave it to him. And he still got plenty to spare. So when he says, I know what you can bear, that engineer know what the road can take, I know what you can take. And I promise I won't give you any more. I promise, y'all. But Lord, sometimes it hurts. It really, really, but I promised, because don't forget, we got a meeting in Galilee. You got to be there because I'm going to be there. And I promise you, I will put more into what you take on this road to Galilee. On the road to Galilee, Peter decided he was going to man up. Peter said he's going to man up. He saw Judas give Jesus a kiss goodbye. He saw all the other guys run off. But he decided he's going to man up. But see, here's one thing that he didn't take into consideration. Jesus had told him, that before this night is over, not tomorrow, not next day, before this night is over, Peter, my trusted servant, you are going to deny me three times. Three times before the cock crow. Jesus, no, never, never. But the Bible says Peter had good intentions, y'all. He had really, really good intentions. But he made a key mistake. The Bible says that he decided to stay afar off.
when you, when I, when any of us make a decision to try to follow Jesus Christ from afar off. I don't want the fellowship anymore. I don't want to hang out with Christians anymore. I don't want to be close to the brethren anymore. When we make that decision to follow Jesus from afar off, guess what, y'all? The same thing that happened to Peter is going to happen to us. Here Peter is trying to man up, and not one, but two women front him out. Two women. The one woman looks at him, she says, you know, you look like a Galilean. You look like one of those guys hanging out with Jesus. Peter said, no. And so then he's still hanging around. And then another woman comes over and says, but you sure look familiar. And each time he denied, he heard the cock crow. She said, you look really, really, you look really familiar. He said, no. He was more vehement about it this time. He said, no. And then finally it said that a little crew of people came to him. He said, we know you're one of Jesus' boys. I've often thought about the times that I was in that situation. And I wonder, would y'all give some consideration to the times that you're in that situation where everybody knows that you're a child of the kingdom. Everybody knows it. And yet and still, here you are, and here I am, trying to deny it just so we could go along and get along. We don't want to buck anybody at the house. We don't want to buck anybody at the job. And look what Peter did. Look what Peter vehemently, in other words, he cussed the people out. The Bible says he responded with an oath. That means he wanted to let them know that you know if I'm over here cussing you out, I can't be with Jesus. We look at Peter and we say, man, that's low down dirty. But let's look in the mirror, y'all. Let's look in the mirror. When the folks at the job, when the folks at the market, when you should be, when I should be, standing for Jesus. What do? We may not cuss them out, but do we go to them with the word of God? Because see, we have a destiny. We have a meeting with Jesus. Jesus says, after I've risen, I want you to meet me in Galilee. Jesus says, before I get to Galilee, you're going to take me from judgment hall to judgment hall. Before I get to Galilee, y'all going to take me. I'm going to be lied on. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be given a crown of thorns pushed down on my head. And I'm going to be stripped and put into some other clothes that aren't even my clothes. And I'm going to be falsely accused. They're going to have to go find people to pay to lie. He knew all this was coming. Jesus knew all this was coming. Because he said the scriptures must be fulfilled. When we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, understand Jesus knew full well everything that was coming at him during this period of time when he was on his way to the road to meet the folks in Galilee. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. But he knew what was coming. That's why grace is so amazing. Because in spite of everything else, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me. And he's paying the price for your sin and mine. And he says, I'm going to do this willfully. And all I want you to do is let folks know about me. We're going to get to that. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall.
They took him and he had to stand before Pilate, the governor. And then on the road to Galilee, they gave the people, Jesus gave the people one more choice. He said, there's a man named Barabbas, a thief that was named Barabbas. Pilate held up Barabbas on one side. He held up Jesus on the other side. He said, folks, which man would you rather have? Who do you want to hang out with, church? Who do you want, church? Do you want Jesus, this holy, 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 holy Son of God? Or do you want to hang out with Barabbas, church? He's asking everybody, who do you want to be with, church? He said, I've promised to meet you in Galilee, but before we get there, you're going to be tested. You're going to be given some challenges along the way. Who do you want to hang out with, church? You want to hang out with the world? Or do you want to hang out with Jesus? Well, the decision was made by these folks who knew Jesus and knew Jesus quite well. These folks decided, we want Barabbas. Because Barabbas is like me. Barabbas is like us. Barabbas has got sin issues. And so we want to hang out with Barabbas, and we don't want to hang out with Jesus. But Jesus says, this is a test for you, church. This is a test for you, church. This is not a test designed to make you fail. This is a test designed to move us forward in our Christian walk. When you're given the opportunity of who you're going to hang with, who you're going to run with, you got to pick the people of God. You got to pick the people who are going to edify, the people who are going to encourage, the people who are going to lead you down the right path, encourage you along the right way. Because we have a meeting that's called by Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to meet me. I want you to meet me. After all the trials, after all the tribulations, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, I want you to meet me in Galilee. Jesus says, on the way to Galilee, I want you to know I'm going to be crucified, be executed. And I'm going to be put in a borrowed tomb. I was explaining to the kids on Tuesday night, the Bible says that he was put into a sepulcher. And a lot of people don't understand that a sepulcher is more like a cave. It's not like something that you dig because the ground is so hard there, it's rocky. And so everybody who was buried there buried in something similar to a cave. And then a stone was rolled over the front of this cave to keep the animals, the wild animals, from coming in, disturbing the bodies. And Jesus says, on my road to Galilee, I got to make a stop at the cross. And I'm going to be crucified at the cross. And when I go to the cross, they're going to beat me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to despise me. And on the cross, I'm going to take your sins. And I'm going to take on your sins and pay for all of your sins, and I am going to give my righteousness to whosoever will receive the truth of Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. He says, I'm going to stay in the grave for 3 days. And then after 3 days, after I have risen, he said, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Church, turn your Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Why Galilee? Why not Jerusalem? Why Galilee? Because all these men, that was their hometown, church. Their hometown was Galilee. Jesus started his ministry right after he was baptized by John the Baptist
in Galilee. So he's gathering everybody back together right where everything else started. And it says right here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is that second part where he says, and after I've risen, I want you to meet me in Galilee. Why do I want you to meet me in Galilee? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, meet me in Galilee, because I want you to understand there's nothing to be afraid of. You're going to be stumbling. You're going to hit stumbling blocks. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have turmoil in this world. He says, but lo, I'm going to be with you always. And he says, I have been given all power of heaven and earth. And what I want you to do on Resurrection Sunday, very simple, y'all. I want you, each and every one of us, to get up, go out into a lost and dying world, and tell them they don't have to go to Galilee to meet Jesus. They can meet him right where they're at. Because the Bible says, if whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, you shall be saved. That's why Jesus wanted his people to meet him in Galilee, just so he could give them the best news of the best news of the best news. You tell everybody, you teach everybody, tell everybody that you know, he is risen. God bless you. God thank you. God bless you. God keep you.